Well, I've invited Martin to read from the passage that we're going to be spending some time on together as a church today. And a round of applause for Martin. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. I'm reading from the Gospel of Mark, from 3:31 to 35. Then his brothers and his mother came, and standing outside, they sent to him and calling him. And a multitude was sitting around him, and they said to him, "Look, your mother and brothers are outside seeking you." But he answered them, saying, "Who is my mother or my brother?" And he looked around in a circle at those who sat about him and said, "Here are my mother and my brothers, for whoever does the will of God is my brother and my sister and my mother." Amen.
I said at the beginning of the service that, you know, we're celebrating so many things here today. And I asked the question, well, what do we do as a family when we have a birthday? Well, the whole family comes together. And as a church leadership, we're profoundly aware that not only is this just a way to celebrate, but we believe that in a very deep way, God's breath is upon this. Vernon was just telling me this morning, and a number of people have kind of mentioned this, you know, we're turning 13, and our one son turned 13 this year, and you know what that means is becoming a teenager. And I remember when I turned 13, and I don't know how many gray hairs I gave my parents when I turned 13, but there's also the sense of coming of age, right? That it is a very important year, and we trust that God is maturing us as a church, and that God is also going to be trusting us with more as a church as we grow up in Him. But today we're celebrating so many things, and I do believe that they're all kind of the same thing. We're celebrating this birthday, but we're also celebrating the generations being together. We're celebrating who we are as a family, and we're celebrating just how the church is not me, but rather we are the church as God fills each one of us with His Spirit and as we come together as one big family. And that's why we're doing church today the way we're doing it. There is no minimum age to which God can work. And we're so used to compartmentalizing church. And, you know, the adults, we do serious church over here. And the kids, yeah, they get looked after. Nothing could be further from the truth. Where we recognize that Jesus says to the children, "Come, let them come to me." And then sometimes God wants to use the children to minister to us and us to them and grow us together as a family. This is something that we can all contribute to. We all matter. You know, the other day I was going through some old videos on my phone with my kids. And for those of you who got younger kids, I'm sure you do this, that when it gets to the time where you sing happy birthday and you've got a cake and you've got some candles, well, out come the phones, right? Because we can do that now. And so just going back over the years, looking at all the times that we had family and friends together in the room, one of these moments of celebration, and just seeing who are these people who mean so much to us. And once again, across the generations, with our grandparents and aunties and uncles and friends and family and some friends who have become like family to us, and how over the years we can celebrate how our family has grown and evolved. And so I wanted to ask, I know that we've got some, we've got our kids with us in the service, but birthdays are definitely a high point where we like to do things together as a family. So I want to ask some of our next geners, all right, what are some fun things that you like doing together as a family? Put up your hand. Fun things that you like doing together as a family. Here we go.
Mario Kart tournament.
Mario Kart tournament. Guess who wins every single time? Not mom or dad.
Playing board games with my family.
Playing board games. Who wins in all the board games? It depends on the game. Okay, good answer. Anyone else? Got a hand over here.
Watching movies.
Watching movies. Yes. Over here and over here.
I started a games day group for our Velocity and having picnic Bible studies on how it goes.
Sounds like so much fun.
Going on holiday.
Yay for going on holiday as a family. All right, let's do Edie and then one more after that.
Colouring with my family.
Colouring in your family. Colouring with your family.
Road trips.
Road trips. Amazing. So that is just a glimpse of how life can be so meaningful when we do things together as a family. And that is so equally true when we talk about who we are as a family. Now, I know that family life is not always easy, right? And I also know that some of us are maybe not where we wish we were with regards to the idea of family. And I know some of us maybe don't represent a kind of typical family in many typical ways. But at the end of the day, you've all heard the saying, you can choose your friends, but you can't choose your family. Now, I want to put up a picture on the screen. And this is a picture of me and my father. And maybe you can see some things in similarity between us. All right? You ever wonder where I get my love for fishing from, right? Dad's on the left. Dad's on the left, yeah. Now, from time to time, you know, someone will come to me after the service here, especially someone who does know my dad. Or maybe I'll be at the church from which we came, or be at another place where people know both of us. And they'll come up to me and they'll often offer the following compliment. They say, "Yo, Stephen, as you were preaching, you remind me so much of your dad." And what they mean by that is more than just a passion for ministry, but there's something about him in your heart. There's something about him in your blood, in your mannerisms. And some people would say, "I can almost close my eyes and kind of not tell the difference between you and your father." Now, my dad and I happen to have a great relationship. However, that would still be true if we didn't have a great relationship. Because I can't deny my family. I can't deny how I've been formed in so many different ways by my parents and by their parents and the people who form part of my family. And for that reason, when it comes to family, many of us work hard on family. We play hard. We go on holidays together. We bride together. We put family first. We celebrate family. We do faith together as a family. We watch rugby together as a family, even when the game is 9 o'clock at night. And when things are tough, we endure tough seasons together as a family. Now, as important as family is to us, when it came to the time of Jesus and the passage from which Martin spoke, family was even more important to them. And the reason is because Disney had yet to hit the big screens of the Middle East 2,000 years ago. And here's what I mean by that. What is the plot of every single Disney movie? Someone comes from a family, and here's the tradition. Here's the expectations. Here's the way we expect you to go. And then the star of the story, they're saying, "I don't want to go along with these expectations. I want to carve my own path, my way." Every single Disney movie ever released. And so because Disney hadn't hit the Middle East, and obviously a whole lot of other reasons, family in the time of Jesus was extremely, extremely important. Family was way more important than creating your own future. Family was everything. Family dictated who you married, when you married, why you married. Marriages were often about family economics. Faith was inseparable from family. You experienced life not as an individual, but as a family. Which brings us to the Bible reading today. Jesus was in someone's house. And one of the other differences between the time of Jesus and our homes is that in Jesus' time, no one had to get past the 6-foot wall and the electric fencing and the Rottweiler and the laser beams that try and keep us safe. All right? Houses were like communal spaces, and so people heard that Jesus was in this house, and so the whole town filtered into this house, listening to Jesus teach. At this particular moment, a bit of a heated debate started. They started accusing Jesus of something, and so everyone's listening, and in the middle of this conversation, someone comes in and says, "Hey, Jesus, your mother and your brothers, they're outside." Now imagine that happened. Imagine here I am on a Sunday, and it's a full Sunday, it's a great Sunday, it's an energetic Sunday, and not only that, but I'm actually covering maybe something that's a bit heated and a bit controversial, so we're all leaning in, and then Vernon comes and taps me on the shoulder, interrupting me and saying, "Hey, Stephen, listen, your parents are outside." Now, of course, Vernon would only do that if it was important, and he would probably only do that for family. So how does Jesus respond at this point? Well, Jesus responds in a way maybe differently to how we would respond. And he says, "Well, who are my mother and my brothers?" he asked. And then he looked at those seated in the circle around him and said, "Here. Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does God's will is my brother and sister and mother." So Jesus is pointing towards his disciples, the people who had been following him, the people who had come into this home to hear him, and he says so shockingly, "This is my family." And so Jesus gets us to think about the difference between our flesh family and our faith family. And so I know, kids, some of you are going to be taking notes. You want to write down the difference between a flesh family and a faith family, where our flesh family is usually about the place where we stay, the place we call home, so often defined by the one who's got the same surname as me, or the family that I'm grown up in, or the family that I'm adopted into, or the family that I'm married into. That's the flesh family. The faith family, according to Jesus' definition, is everyone who comes under the same God and Father, Jesus' own Father. And so we're united by our faith in God. Flesh family and our faith family. And Jesus shockingly says, he says that the truest family is not my fleshly family, but my faith family. It's not those who have the same surname as me, but the same heavenly Father. Not those who share the same house as me, but those who share in the life of Christ in me. And if that sounds shocking and maybe even insulting to you, it was even more so for those sharing Jesus on this day. Now, for those of you who are worried, are you saying, "Stephen, are you saying that Jesus is saying that family's not important?" Well, when it comes to understanding tough teachings of Scripture, what we always need to do is let it be defined by the greater teaching of Scripture. And so when we look at what Jesus teaches elsewhere, what the Old Testament and the rest of the New Testament teaches, by no means is Jesus saying that our flesh family is not important. God values family. He wants strong families, strong marriages, where families are like faith factories that grow and develop us in powerful ways. Jesus is not trying to downgrade flesh families, but he is trying to give a massive upgrade to the family of faith. He's not trying to downgrade flesh family, but give an upgrade to the family of faith. You see, the family of God that we're celebrating today isn't only for families, it is for everyone. Where everyone can belong, where everyone is celebrated, where everyone can find meaning and relationship, which is why we're doing church the way we're doing it today. This is not just a cute little thing we're trying out. This is based on this conviction that every single person sitting here today is part of the family of God, and every single person matters in equal degrees. And from Jesus' perspective, there are spiritual bonds that unite us in even more powerful ways than even our fleshly families. Now, is this everyone's experience? Visiting a church, experiencing a church and just walking away feeling like, "Yes, this is my family and this matters more to me than anything else." And the answer is no. It is not only no today, it has been no for 2,000 years. And there are many reasons for that. Some of the reasons are we're still a family of sinners. Even though we have faith in Christ, there are still issues and insecurities and fears and sins in our lives that causes this family to experience pain and difficulty. Just like flesh family can be messy and painful, so faith family can be messy and painful. We're also in the Disney world. And what I mean by that is we're in the age of self. Being self-sufficient, self-defined, independent. We wear those words like a badge of honor. And yet, even though this reality is the experience for many people, and I could be preaching to any church on planet Earth today, I want to encourage every single one of us to hear the words of Jesus as an invitation and a challenge to respond positively. You know, Jesus, I want to be part of the solution. I want to be part of making this a reality. And so how do we do this? Well, the same way we strengthen families of our flesh is going to be the same way that we strengthen our faith families. And so once again, if you're writing notes, just here are some words that you can write down and think about and talk about as a family afterwards today. Because this doesn't happen by accident. And so the first thought is time. Relationships take actual time to develop. The less time you put in, the weaker the relationships. This is why being together matters. It's not just about going to church. It's about showing up to the family. It's about recognizing I'm part of a greater spiritual reality. Sometimes we gather together as the whole family, you know, like the extended cousins and everybody. Sometimes we gather as a smaller family unit in our homes and in our life groups, but time is required for these kinds of relationships to develop. Number two, tables. I love Sundays. I love the joy and the celebration of everybody coming together. And God can use Sundays in such powerful ways. But there are some ways that are better done around a table. Where we gather together, we eat something, we get to know each other in deeper ways. And so the challenge is, are you intentionally bringing people around your table as part of your faith family? Number three, grace. I mentioned earlier that even flesh families can find it really hard going at times. And just like you, in marriages and families, we can rub up each other the wrong way and we can hurt each other in very painful ways. So that can happen here in church families as well. You know, there are zero promises in the Bible that say that church family will be easy, perfect, conflict-free, pain-free. If anything, the opposite is probably true. However, when we recognize what God did for us in Christ to not only save us from our sins, but also to transform us. So the grace we received is the grace that we can give. The more we lean into that, recognizing my own failure, that I become a grace forgiveness millionaire and I'm once again able to be part of the solution in sometimes very difficult situations. So we need to learn grace. Number four, prayer. It is hard to fight with someone you're praying with or praying for. And that is true in our fleshly families as well as our faith families. And finally, unity. You know, just before Jesus went up to heaven, this is the single thing he prioritized. He could have prayed for anything, but he chose to pray for unity. Recognizing how hard that unity can sometimes be for his churches and his children around the world. We live in a world of cancel culture. The first time I'm offended by you, I'm out of here. And I cancel you. What I would say, then you don't understand the gospel. You don't understand grace. And so if we are to be united, we're going to be united by something greater than our age and our generations. Greater than our culture. Greater than our earning brackets. Greater than our skin color, greater than our preferences, greater than some of the peculiar things I may believe in the Christian world where others may believe something different to me. We are going to be united by being under one Father and united by our faith in Christ. And that is something we need to fight for, church. And that is something we all also need to learn to celebrate. And a day like today does exactly that. Now, it is so easy to say, yo, I hope so-and-so is here because they really need to hear this. While I recognize that that may be true, I want to say, make the challenge about your response to Jesus' words. You know, it is so easy to come to church. To be part of a faith family in this way is going to demand a lot from every single one of you. Imagine trying to be part of the faith family right now in the Middle East and what that's going to demand of people and how they're going to need to love each other and share resources and bless each other and understand grace and forgiveness in this time. And so for every single one of us who Jesus calls mother, sister, brother, notice he left out father. Why? Because we all have one father. My invitation, church, is that we recognize who we are. We look across the generation. We look at the people in front of us and behind us, people who look like us, people who don't look like us. And we recognize this is our, you know, in the adoption world, there's this phrase, forever family. This is our forever family. And so I want to ask as we wrap up today that we all stand and we declare this and we pray this together. Let's stand. Father, one day we're going to look at our time on earth and we're going to have so much new perspective. Lord, elsewhere you say that when we grasp the truth of what we're preaching about today, that this will make a huge difference to us, not only in the age to come, but in this present age. And so, Lord, help us be a different kind of community. Help us step into this, including some of the mess and the chaos of our own sin, but also the sin and the fears of those around me. But God, I pray that the grace and the love and the Spirit of Christ would overshadow all of that as we learn and we grow up into what it means to be the faith family of God. And Lord, truly the world would look on when you say, Jesus, that this is how they may know that these are my disciples by their love for one another. Father, I believe there's not a church in the world that has got this down. And we as a church, we've got many steps ahead of us. But today we stand and today we choose to take your words as truth and to respond to your uniting grace, your uniting presence. But also we are dependent on the grace that you give us, Lord, because we need all the help we need. And so, Father, we look ahead with great faith. With great confidence, not because of who we are, but because of who you are. But also how you're growing us and maturing us and uniting us. And this we pray in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.